are listening to The Kevin Smith Show.
Comments and views expressed on The Kevin Smith Show are those of the people that make them and do not necessarily reflect the views of Kevin Smith, The Kevin Smith Show, or its affiliates or sponsors.
Welcome to the Kevin Smith Show. Whoever you are, wherever you are, all around this world, that's a residual left over from the seminar. And what you may not be aware of is that in order to do the seminar, what happened, we didn't have enough people that signed up to come here and see it live. And so we had to cancel the conference room. That meant that the only place I had that where I could do the seminar was here in the studio. So we had to break down all of the studio, all this equipment. It all had to be taken apart, taken down, disassembled, and moved over there and set up again, and the cameras reset in order to do the seminar. Well, then I spent all today moving it all back over here, tearing it down, moving it all back into the studio. And so that little silence there at the beginning of the show where the mic wouldn't work was a residual left over from the move. I'm glad I happened to notice what was causing that. Okay, seminar went super, though. Now, I will tell you that you've heard of Murphy's Law. Believe me, Murphy moved in with me yesterday. Everything that could go wrong went wrong. But the seminar. We were able to do the seminar. And we had people from all over the world watching and participating in the seminar. Had a great call-in session after that. Emails have been pouring in from the seminar. I've got a couple of them here just to give you a flavor. This one from Martinique. Not the place Martinique, but from the lady, Martinique. Kevin, that was such an incredible seminar. I really enjoyed it. Thank you for pointing out to people the fact that the punishments were meant for only Adam and only Eve. I feel that if people would have been smart enough to figure that out sooner, the world would have been a much better place for women in the past. Well, see, and you're right, but see, that points out exactly what I've been telling you. The whole world, the religious world, think they know the, quote, creation story. And they do know one, but it's not the one that's in Genesis. And when you read the exact words that are there, it specifically says, it's not my interpretation, it's not my perspective, it's not my thought on the, it's in the words that was just for them. Why on earth would you not do another seminar? Well, I made the announcement last week and then again during the seminar that this probably would be my last seminar. It's not the first one I've done. But it probably will be the last one. That's not written in stone, but probably it will. And the answer to that is primarily health issues. I work 20 hours a day, and the seminar is laid on top of that. It doesn't take away from the 20. We'll be back right after this. All right. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. Got another email here that I want to share with you. This one from Gary. It says, "Hello, Kevin. I very much enjoyed the seminar. The seminar is far better than I anticipated and certainly very educational. Thanks a lot. As soon as I get stuff in order, I plan to make my own thank you video to show my appreciation. I look forward to it, Gary. I'll be watching for it. I'm sincere about that." Okay, we've got some other emails about the seminar that some of those will be in the K-Files e-zine this week. But the deal about it being the last seminar, you cannot imagine how much goes into preparing to speak for 3 hours. And look, I had a whole lot more slides and a lot more material that go with that seminar, but because of the fact that we needed to squeeze it into 3 hours, I just skimmed the high points. And from the phone calls we got, we did a question and answer period after the seminar, and opened up the telephone line so that people who had been watching the seminar would be able to call in with their questions. And boy, what great questions and great comments. There is one thing, though, I am seeing once in a while in some of the emails where people talk about, you know, that I presented a unique perspective. Please understand, it's not a perspective. If you take a document and a dictionary, and then you go word by word and look up each word in the dictionary, it amazingly has a definition, every word. And all I did was show you the correct translation from Hebrew into English. It's not my perspective, and I didn't write the script. Those are the words, and that's what it says. Okay, flash messages before we get into our topic for this evening, which I think you're going to find very, very interesting. Let's talk about flash messages. I've noticed that we haven't been getting a lot of flash messages, and we used to. We get some, but we used to get a lot. And so I did some research on this, and here's what I found out. I found out that, you know, the filters that filter out spam mail? Well, the filter on flash message works like this. If, you know, the old flash message address was flash@kevinsmithshow.com. Okay? So if you're still using that, your email is going to a non-existent email account. That was canceled. It was killed because it was being taken over by spam messages. And so there is a different email address, and the only way that you can access that is to do what I always say, and that is you go to my website, scroll down till you see Flash Message. You'll see it right under the information about tonight's show. Click that link where it says Flash Message, fill in the form, and use that. It will get you through the filters, and then I get the Flash Message. But if you send... you send a flash message any other way, it will not arrive. I will never see it, okay? Let me tell you, before we really get into our topic for this evening, let me tell you that I do expect that we will have some interference this evening. I hope we don't, but I expect we will. And the reason is because of the subject matter that we're going to talk about. I expect to be interrupted frequently this evening. If your audio or video go dead, hang in there, because we're still broadcasting. I'm still broadcasting. It's going to come back up. All right? So if the video goes dead tonight, just wait a few seconds and click that reload button that's on the player, or Simply click your cursor on the player window, and if you're using a PC, you hit F5 and it'll reload that window. I hope you don't have to do that, but I fully expect that you will. The topic tonight begins with something that happened in 1942. In 1942, America was embroiled in, as many countries were, World War II. And there was an event that took place out on the west coast of the United States of America. This event that took place was a strange airborne craft appeared in the area of, near Los Angeles. Later in the night, it appeared above Los Angeles. It was moving very, very slowly, almost like a blimp, way too slow to have been an airplane. An airplane simply could not have stayed aloft moving that slowly. No one reported hearing any sounds from it, but this thing appeared in the skies above, near Los Angeles, and then later above Los Angeles. At that time, because of the fact that we were in war against both Germany and Japan, the west coast of the United States, of course, being probably the first place Japanese would land, I mean, that's what would have been normal for them, just to come across the Pacific and land on the west coast somewhere. So that being the case, the west coast of the United States was heavily fortified, lots of guns over there, and the Army opened fire on this thing. They hit it with spotlights. And if you saw the picture at the beginning of the show, I think I've got it right here. Let's see. The picture at the beginning of the show, that is actually from the newspaper out in Los Angeles. And those are spotlights that the military had on this thing. And they were shooting. Over 1,500 volleys, 1,500 rounds were shot at this thing. They report making direct hits on it with no effect whatsoever. It was in the air above the West Coast for a long time. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to just go ahead and play for you the news reports that were on the radio at that time, and then we'll come back.
The News of the World, Wednesday, February 25th. Once again, Columbia's correspondents in world capitals and in the fighting zones in the Western Pacific are ready to give you the latest news direct by shortwave radio. And now for news of our own West Coast, we take you to Los Angeles and the report of Byron Palmer. Anti-aircraft guns went into action against unidentified aircraft in the Los Angeles area shortly after 3 a.m. Pacific wartime this morning. The anti-aircraft guns began barking during a blackout ordered by the 4th Interceptor Command at 2:25 a.m. The unidentified object, which some sources thought might be a blimp, moved slowly down the Pacific coast from Santa Monica and disappeared south of Long Beach. Army officials declined to comment on the possibility that the object might have been a blimp. However, it required nearly 30 minutes to travel some 25 miles. Far slower than an airplane. Watchers on the rooftop of the Columbia Broadcasting Building in the heart of Hollywood could plainly see the flashes of guns and searchlights sweeping the skies in a wide arc along the coastal area. Concussion of the shells could be felt in downtown Los Angeles, 15 miles away. U.S. Army planes quickly took to the dark skies, but whether they contacted the object has not been announced. Army officials say they will not comment until they receive a full report of the action. Although some watchers say they saw airplanes in the air, semi-official sources say they probably were the U.S. Army's pursuit. Several observers say they saw one or more planes spotlighted by 20 or 30 searchlights. The object moved southward, presumably over Huntington Park at the western edge of Los Angeles, and on southward to about Long Beach on the coast. By 3:30 a.m., observers said the object appeared to be over the south of Long Beach. Searchlights closely followed the object down the coast and kept it centered in their glare. Shells frequently could be seen bursting near the object, but none appeared to hit it. The shooting stopped about 3:30 a.m. The shooting brought warfare to the front door of this city of 1.25 million population for the first time since December 7th. Already, it was alert to the presence off the Southern California coast of a Japanese submarine which had pumped 25 shells into an oil field north of Santa Barbara Monday evening. Because of the presence of the submarine, a three-hour alert was ordered at dusk last night, and civilian authorities stood at their posts while the Army and Navy continued their search for the submersible. The evening alert ended at 10:23 p.m., but another was sounded at 2:22 a.m., and the blackout followed within 3 minutes. It covered Los Angeles County from Santa Monica to Pomona. At 2:27, all Southern California radio stations were ordered off the air, except those in San Diego. Approximately 20 minutes after the firing died down, the ship returned and headed westward from Long Beach toward Santa Monica. The guns went into action again, hurling round after round of shells at the object. The second barrage appeared to be closer to downtown Los Angeles, since watchers could hear the concussion of the guns more clearly and the flash of bursting shells was brighter. Then the ship disappeared for the second time over the ocean. We return you now to CBS in New York.
Okay, there you have it. Now, that's an event that actually happened. There are lots and lots of current U.S. citizens who have no idea, absolutely had no idea, that there ever was any kind of an attack on U.S. soil other than at Pearl Harbor. You heard in that report that there was a submarine, a Japanese submarine off coast, that had put 25 shells into an oil storage yard or a refinery yard the night before. Now, these are real events, and that's a real news broadcast. This thing, whatever it was spotlighted and kept in spotlights. The story came out, there was, you know, the official story that came out was that this one story was it was probably a blimp. Another story said, well, there was really nothing there, but they were just, it was wartime nerves, and they were just jittery, and someone fired, and then everybody started firing. Well, the Army was pretty upset at those official reports because it indicated that they had fired 1,500 rounds at a nothing, and they did not take kindly to that report. So the Army decided that they would just keep their mouths shut on this, and they said nothing more about it. But you saw the picture, and you can see, let me go back to that picture. You can see in the picture, actually, if you look at it pretty carefully, those of you who are watching our TV channel, look right where all the spotlights meet. You can see an object, and if you look closely, you can see a little dome on the top of it. And then right above that, you see a flash of one of the shells going off. Now, this report said, the radio report, said that they shot near it, but no one reported seeing it get hit. The Army said they hit it. Witnesses on the ground did not see any direct hits. The Army said they hit it. Either way, it was a real object. It really was above Los Angeles. It really did shut down all the radios, or cause all the radio stations to be ordered to be shut down. And that was in 1942. So what has that got to do with 2009? Well, I want to bring you up to date, but there are a couple of statements that we have to take care of here, and in order to bring us up to date. That was in 1942, and of course then the war ended after that. In 1947, after the war, Admiral Richard E. Byrd was assigned to lead a 4,000 military troop invasion. Now, these troops were from the United States, Great Britain, and Australia. And this was an invasion of Antarctica. It was called Operation High Jump. There are people who have said, well, it was a scientific mission. It was never intended to be an invasion. Well, listen to this. The invasion of Antarctica consisted of three battle groups from Norfolk, Virginia, on December the 2nd, 1946. That's when they gathered up and got started, okay? They were led by Byrd's command ship, the icebreaker Northwind, and consisted of the catapult ship Pine Island, the destroyer Brownson, the aircraft carrier Philippine Seas, the U.S. submarine Senate, two support vessels, the Yankee and the Merrick, two tankers, the Canisted and I think it's pronounced Capucin, the destroyer Henderson, and a float plane ship called the Currituck, a British-Norwegian force and a Russian force, and possibly also Australian and Canadian forces were involved. So here they arrived down in Antarctica in 1947 for this invasion. On March the 5th, 1947, it's all over by that time. They were supposed to be there for a lot longer. They weren't there for longer. But on March the 5th, 1947, a newspaper in Santiago, Chile, called El Mercurio, had a headline, and here was the headline: On Board Mount Olympus on the High Seas. And this article quoted Admiral Byrd in an interview with Lee Van Atta, and here's what it says from the article. Admiral Byrd declared today that it was imperative for the United States to initiate immediate defense measures against hostile regions. The Admiral, I'm still reading from the article, the Admiral further stated that he didn't want to frighten anyone unduly, but that it was a bitter reality that in the case of a new war, the continental United States would be attacked by flying objects which could fly from pole to pole at incredible speeds. Admiral Byrd repeated those same points in front of a news conference that was held for the International News Service. So here's Admiral Byrd saying, March the 5th, 1947, next time we'll be facing objects in the sky that can fly at incredible speeds from pole to pole. Next, we're going to hear from General MacArthur, and then we're going to hear news from yesterday. Welcome back to the Kevin Smith Show. Up next is a statement from General Douglas MacArthur. Now, this statement was from October the 8th, 1955. And he said, and I quote, "The nations of the world will have to unite, for the next war will be an interplanetary war. The nations of the earth must someday make a common front against attack by people from other planets. Every once in a while, when I hear someone chuckle and ridicule and talk about how nutty that concept is, that there are extraterrestrial intelligent civilizations out there, and they just poo-poo the idea, and you're silly and you're ridiculous if you think that's true. You know, General Douglas MacArthur was serious as a heart attack. He was one of the best generals we ever had. And I want to read this to you again. He said, "The nations of the world will have to unite, for the next war will be an interplanetary war. The nations of the earth must someday make a common front against attack by people from other planets." These guys, Admiral Byrd, General Douglas MacArthur, these are guys on the inside who really know what's going on. More than you know, more than I know. Would you chuckle at MacArthur? Would you laugh at him? Would you say, "You're just a nut"? You know, nobody but nutcases believes in that kind of stuff. Well, I don't think you would do that. But if you did, I don't think you'd do it but once. General MacArthur was truly a great general. Brigadier General John A. McDavid, U.S. Air Force, Director of Communications Electronic for the Joint Chiefs of Staff, during a speech at Millikan University, Decatur, Illinois, said this, and I quote, "Before long, people may be forced to realize and accept as a fact that this earth is only an infinitesimal grain of sand in an infinite universe. The human is one of many forms of life with which God is concerned, and others are superior to us. And if this is true, our meeting with other types of existence in other places in the universe quite likely will increase the potential element of conflict rather than reduce it." Two generals, one admiral, they said it's real, and they looked upon it as a possible threat. I know some of you think that we should not look at extraterrestrial intelligent civilizations as a possible threat, but that's not what this is about. What this is about is who said they exist. It's not just Kevin Smith sitting out here doing a radio show that says, "Look, you know, here's the evidence, and they exist." That's not the case. It's not just me sitting out here doing this and saying that. I mean, where do you think I get this information from? I get this information from people like that, from things they've said, from things they've written. Admiral Byrd, General MacArthur, Brigadier General John A. McDavid. They said it's real. They said that we have to prepare. Okay, now I asked the question in the faceplate for the show: is this happening again? And I showed you a picture of the Battle of Los Angeles, where they had this object in spotlights, and they were firing artillery rounds and anti-aircraft rounds at the thing. And the question is this happening again? Okay, yesterday, on the east coast of, all up and down the east coast of the United States, witnesses saw strange streaks of light, strange flashes of light, and heard what sounded like explosions. The National Weather Service, that was at 9:25 p.m. on the East Coast last night. Now, some of you who are listening are possibly on the East Coast. If you saw this, you know about this personally, when I open up the phone lines, I want you to call us and tell us about it. All right? The National Weather Service said Monday there is no evidence of any naturally occurring phenomenon to explain bright lights in the eastern sky that prompted hundreds of calls to the National Weather Service and to emergency officials. A TV station in Durham, North Carolina, callers from Maryland, Virginia, and North Carolina described brilliant streaking lights followed by an explosion-like sound at about 9:45. I said 9:25. I'm sorry. 9:45 p.m. Sunday. That's yesterday. One person in Carroll County emailed the TV news station to say that she had spotted a large fireball in the western sky. It started out being about the brightness of a star, then increasingly got brighter and greener. As it got green, it had an orange sparkling tail. We saw it go almost all the way to the ground before losing sight in the trees. Then someone visiting a TV station in Durham, North Carolina, said, "I remember seeing something greenish and changing colors. It was leaving a trail, and I never saw it hit the ground, either because it faded or got covered by the trees or burnt out." Another person wrote this: "I was driving south on Interstate 83 between 9:30 and 10 Sunday night when my wife and I both saw a streaking green light fall from the sky. It looked like a shooting star, but it was definitely falling to the ground and not shooting across the sky." Then there were people in Virginia, from Hampton Roads over to Richmond, reported seeing great large balls of fire lighting up the sky in shades of yellow, white, orange, and blue. And some described the explosion as sounding like thunder. A spokesman for the Weather Service said the lights are nothing meteorological that we can see. So here, you know, if the FAA wants to come out and say, well, it was probably some kind of weather anomaly, well, they can't. That's already been cut off at the knees, because here we have the National Weather Service saying it's nothing meteorological that we can see. That's a quote. There's not any meteorological reason for this to have happened. Now, you might say, well, maybe those were meteorites coming in. Could be. It very well could be. You might say, well, maybe that's some of the debris from that Russian satellite that ran into the Iridium satellite, and there's all that junk out there in space. Maybe some of that's falling back in, and that's what they saw. Could be. And that's how I chalked it up when I read that first report. But late this afternoon, I got an email from one of our listeners. You know, I tell you all the time, this show is not about me or what I think. This show is about you, and it's about the information. And let's just see what the information is. We'll all talk about it. We'll ask questions about it, and then each of us can make up our own minds. Well, this email had a link in it that took me to this article. Now, I want to caution you before I read this article. This is an article that actually the its origins are in Russia. It made it then into a Spanish-speaking country, and I am not sure which one. It was then translated into English. Okay? So the reason I'm warning you is because of the content of this article. I don't want you to go away from this saying, oh, that's it. That's definitely it. Because I don't think we can say this is definitely it. I'll read it to you in just a moment. I think what we can say, though, is it is very interesting. And very often this happens. Very often we have some event that will happen here in the United States. Doesn't get reported much. A little bit maybe. And it's no big deal. And then you get news from outside the United States. You go outside and read news from some other country that reports on it, and they give you a lot of details that you didn't have. And, you know, you kind of raise an eyebrow and say, now I wonder if that's for real. And then time passes, and in time you find out it was real. They did report it correctly. Sometimes you find out they didn't. All right, now this report is from today, all right? We've got time for this. The article has this headline, U.S. warplanes repel mysterious attack on Washington, D.C. Now, do not panic. We don't know if this report is real. We don't know if it's bogus, but it is out there. And things that get out and make waves are the things we talk about on this show. All right, here is the report. A most curious report from Russian Space Forces, and then in parentheses, VKS, that's the initials like we have NASA. A most curious report from Russian Space Forces circulating in the Kremlin today, that's right now, today, states that over 75 United States Air Force warplanes engaged in a battle off the eastern coast of the U.S. to repel five unidentified aircraft said to be streaking towards their capital city of Washington, D.C. at Mach 1 speeds. And there was the loss of two U.S. fighter jets of as yet unknown type. Russia's Space Command constantly monitors U.S. Air Force activities over North America, from which this report derives, but which has been further confirmed by reports emanating from the United States today. And then they quote what I just read to you about the Meteorological Service. They quote that and say, you know, here's what people saw, here's what they heard. And the meteorological agency says whatever it was not meteorological. Now, there's more to this that involves the West Coast again. And we'll get to it when we come back from this break. Welcome back. All right, we're talking about this report that's originated in Russia. It comes out of Russia. And what I just read to you is the report is saying that there is a report from the Russian Space Forces circulating in the Kremlin today, and it talks about a battle, air battle, involving 75 United States Air Force warplanes engaged in a battle off the eastern coast of the United States to repel five unidentified aircraft streaking towards Washington, D.C. at speeds of up to Mach 1, at Mach 1 speeds. And that two U.S. fighter jets were downed. All right, now, there is also in this on this page a report that this is the second battle the U.S. Air Force has engaged in this past week, with the previous attack occurring along their western coastal regions, that would be the west coast of the United States, which resulted in the destruction of an F-22 Raptor stealth fighter jet, which the U.S. reported as having crashed. And then it says, and then this incursion over the skies in North Carolina and up the eastern coast. Okay, now, as I cautioned you, you don't take this report and say, or you should not take this report and say, oh my God, it's on. We don't know. It is a report that's out there. It's therefore part of the information. It goes into the mix. It's part of the information that goes into the mix. But we don't know for sure that this is accurate. I mean, this may be some of the space debris from the collision of those satellites reentering. But if that's what it is, I think we would have been told it's coming. I would hope so. I would hope that there would have been announcements for everyone to be careful, watch the skies, and get out of the way. But if it is that space debris, that's debris from the Russian satellite, it would be in their interest to say it's not and to say that it was a battle that took place and that there were these unidentified objects. So it would be in the Russians' interest to say that's not our stuff. And so you have to put all that into the mix as you try to decipher from this what is up. But we do know part of the mix is that it's happened before. I showed you the picture from the newspaper out in Los Angeles, 1942. I played for you the news reports that were broadcast on the radio. So we do know that there have been strange objects in the sky above the U.S. that have been engaged in battle. They have been fired upon. You heard the report. I played it right at the beginning of this discussion. And so, the questions then that we have to ask as we take this into account, we're reading that from Russia, they're saying, at least this article in Russia is saying it was a battle, and 75 United States Air Force warplanes engaged five unidentified aircraft. Then we have United States citizens who last night reported seeing streaks of light, great flashes and balls of light, and explosion sounds, and that happened last night. So these two stories seem to be pointed at exactly the same event, and they are pointed at exactly the same event. So we have to, put that into the mix and then back up, raise an eyebrow, be a little skeptical, and say, well, I guess time will tell. We'll see what was it. So the question, though, is this happening again? Now, put into the mix the additional information that you've heard from Ed Grimsley and the videos that you've seen of UFOs. Don't know what they are. See, when I say UFO, those who are completely uninitiated and totally unaware of the literature, evidence, and information on this, they think, oh, flying saucers and little green men. Disabuse yourself of that ignorance. UFO means unidentified flying object. And so Ed Grimsley has shown us these videos of fleets of these things flying in the skies, and the videos are taken through night vision equipment. And so put that into the mix. And then, what do you think is going on here? I'm going to open the telephone line because I would like to know what you think is going on. And the telephone number is 623-444-5889, or toll free, if that would be, if you would have to pay a long distance toll to call 623-444-5889, call us on the toll free number. It is 1-888-223-4599. What do you think? Obviously something happened last night over on the east coast of the United States. That is clear. Something took place. Something happened. What do you think it was? Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and where are you calling from?
Yeah, it's Kevin from North Bay, Ontario.
Hi, Kevin.
Kevin, I have to say I am so disappointed that I missed your seminar because my finances are quite tight right now.
Well, you're not alone, my friend.
Yeah, but
I don't know why we're getting feedback, and I have no idea why.
I know I'm getting it too. I can hear it. I can actually hear myself. Actually.
All right. Well, I'm working on it. I'll try to get it cut out.
Well, you know, I'm going to give you my theory, and this is a well-educated guess because of a lot of the intensive research that I've done in this field. I think what we're seeing in our skies is not only us getting involved. I think old Enki and Enlil are going at it again, and they're getting us involved in it again.
Okay,
that's what's going on.
Why do you think that? Why do you think Enki and Enlil? And for those who don't know, those are two of the ancient Sumerian gods.
Well, considering the fact that Nibiru is on its approach and that you can see it, I think it is the most plausible and the most logical conclusion that one can come to. Okay, because if you look in the western skies now, just after sunset, you can see that's Nibiru. It ain't Venus. It ain't Jupiter. That's Nibiru. That's coming here. It's in the right position, just as they said it would be.
Well, tell me again where to look. I haven't seen it. Where do I look?
Just after sunset on a clear night in the western skies, you'll see it.
And you're absolutely sure that's Nibiru?
Absolutely.
And why are you certain?
Well, it fits the calculations. I've done a lot of the research on it. I've read a lot of the stuff from Zechariah Sitchin. I read the stuff. I've listened to a lot of the people that have done research on this. I'm talking about Jason Martell. I'm talking about John Maynard, Robert Zephyra, and all the other ones. It fits the theory.
Okay.
And it fits the calculations. So I think.
So what do you think about this report that is coming out of Russia about the U.S. Air Force engaging five objects? Do you think that's real, or do you think this is bogus information?
It depends on what the original news source was.
Well, what this is, I understand what you're saying. Let's see. This is written by Sorcha Fall, reported to her Western subscribers, and then it was translated into Spanish and then into English.
Lost in translation, maybe. Who knows? What do I think about this? I'm thinking it's likely. There's, you know, in every myth, there's always a kernel of truth. But when it comes to this, I'd have to say it may be real. Do we have any proof of this? Are there any photos taken of the battle? Are there any videos taken? Because with the Battle of Los Angeles, there is a photo. You can see the saucer right there.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it just happened last night. I don't know if anybody got any photos. Don't know if there's any video. I suspect in the coming days, if there are some, they'll surface.
You think so, or are they going to wait for 30 years before they start showing up until they're quote-unquote declassified?
I don't know, but a break just took over. Thanks for the call. All right, folks, we'll be back right after this. Kevin Smith Show. Let's go to the phone line. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and where are you calling from? Hello, caller.
Hello.
You're live on the air. Your first name and where are you calling from?
Pepper, Texas.
Okay, your first name?
John.
Okay, John from Texas, all right. What's on your mind this evening?
Well, I was listening on your show. Is there some type of agenda that aliens want to kill off the human race?
Oh, I don't know. I certainly hope not. You know, we have folks that appear on the show and say that that's the case, that they are hostile. We have folks, other guests that come on the show and say that's not the case and there's no evidence of it. And whereas I've not run into any aliens that I know of, I don't know. But now, just because we fired on them, does I mean, let's assume that this happened. Just for the sake of argument, let's just assume that this report is correct and that it happened. Just because we fired on them does not indicate that they had ill intentions toward us.
Right.
The thing back in 1942, there's no question at all. We fired on that object. But there was no report that this object did anything hostile, even when being fired upon. So, you know, I'm not really sure that we would necessarily have to assume they are hostile, even if we fired on them. Here's my personal opinion, John. If those are aliens, and I don't know if they are. I don't know what they are. But if they are, they are obviously thousands of years ahead of us technologically because they got here and we're having a hard time just getting back to the moon. And they are way ahead of us. If they had hostile intentions when we fired on them, I think they're capable of turning the whole planet into a wisp of smoke in space if they had hostile intentions.
Well, I can tell you one thing, John, not trying to turn the subject around, but there's two different things that I do know of. I actually touched a piece of material that was from the Roswell site.
Oh, you have?
Yeah, it was over in the next, it was located in the next farm over that the U.S. government did not scan, and only four people know about it. But to kind of give you a little background on this material, I looked at the technical readout of it when they looked it under a micron electron microscope.
Uh-huh.
And the alloys that are in it mixed with a certain silicone, and the percentage is 14%. All the latest technology, which is in either Switzerland or Sweden, can only make it up to 4%.
And this was 14%.
This is 14%. And there's another metal in there that is totally extraterrestrial. It's not from the known element chart that we go by.
So what do you think of the story out of Russia? And the reason that I'm asking that in connection with what you just said, obviously something brought down that craft at Roswell. Something caused it to crash.
Well, I have a little bit of an idea what may have brought it down.
What do you think it was?
I think since you may have different species up there, that there might have been a war up there. One of them was brought down because back then the type of weapons that we had as human beings on the Earth had nothing that could bring something like that down. I don't. The shells that we consider by howitzers and artillery would not penetrate this metal. So it would have to be of a particle beam energy upon this object from another object.
You sound as if you have some scientific expertise in this.
Well, I have worked in different areas that I really can't say, but the chances are that coming from a similar craft, since there are different species. And my question I always had in the back of my mind is why do extraterrestrials take a great interest in this planet?
That is a mystery.
What is it about Mother Earth that they want to somehow want to seize it for themselves? But of course, naturally, when you have 6 billion people on the planet, the sheer numbers alone would be hard to fight them if the real world knew what was really going on.
Well, unless they had technology that would be a planet buster type technology, you know.
Well, I've heard where one of the questions was asked to one of these beings that ultimate question is that, you know, talk about, we refer to him as God, and they just flat asked, do you guys believe in such a being? And they said, yes, there is a supreme being. And they have to live by the same type of laws that we have to here on Earth. Well, that very well may be the key that stops them from devastating the planet.
Do you have any idea or opinion as to why they would be interested in this planet?
My opinion would be it would have to be with the water.
Mm.
There's something about the water that they use to generate power. It very well may be the hydrogen content in the water.
All right, now this piece of material from the Roswell crash, was this something a long time ago, or is this piece of material still around somewhere?
That piece of material is still around. It's been like 10 years since I saw this physical piece in my hand.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say it was probably about 18 inches long, kind of like a bar, and it did have writing inside of it. That the closest that I can make out to would be like between like Sumerian writing in combination with hieroglyphic, kind of like a combination of the two.
Uh-huh. What color was it?
It was kind of like an off gray.
Was it a little I-beam configuration?
If you look at an I-beam and you look at it from the end where it forms a T at the top and the T at the bottom and mm-hmm. straight in the middle, you would take it and cut it in half where it had like 2 feet and the piece in the center.
Okay.
Like a structural beam.
Okay.
It would be like you put in a building.
How wide was it?
Pardon?
You said it was about 18 inches long. How wide was it?
About 3.
About 3 inches.
It's very, very light.
And this was a material that you say it can't come from Earth. Now, let me just ask this. Do you have the scientific expertise to be able to say that? Or are you basing that on what a scientist told you?
That is based on the readouts that they did with the electron microscope that gives the readout of every element. It is in a physical part.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to have it examined, like reverse engineered,
mm-hmm.
and they had come across me to see if there was some type of basic domestic purpose you could use it for mm-hmm. industry.
Yeah.
But since you cannot reduplicate that material, there's no way you can put it into...
Now, was it subjected to any other type of test, like trying to heat it up and see what happens, see what its melting point would be, and so forth?
They tried to do that, but it didn't have very much success.
Yeah. Wow. That's
fascinating. Your greatest way of telling what a material is to put it under the electron microscope and do a readout.
Have you ever seen any other material from anywhere else that under the electron microscope that was not from here?
say again, Kevin?
Have you ever seen any other material from somewhere else and then looked at it under the electron microscope and determined that it also was extraterrestrial? Have you seen anything else or just this one thing?
No, just that one piece.
Uh-huh.
See, it counts your electrons and your protons and your neutrons in the nano scale as well, and it's off the graph of this alien element.
Okay.
This is one of those elements that when they tried to build the super collider here in Texas to try to reformulate it.
Uh-huh.
But Clinton cut the funds off of that.
Yeah, so now you got to...
The purpose of building that thing.
Yeah, so now they have to do it over at the new, what is it called, Super Hadron Collider?
Yeah, somewhere over in Europe.
Mm-hmm. Well, I tell you what, this is fascinating. After you saw that material, what did you think about the Roswell crash? Is it real, or is the Air Force telling us the truth about it?
Well, this is where I get a little extra information. My father had passed away in 93, and he worked on a lot of the big high projects, and he was actually raised up there in Ruidoso, which is 50 miles west of Roswell in the mountain range. And he was stationed in Fort Blitz in El Paso in guided missiles. And when the first Minuteman missile was being developed and built in 61, when it was launched at Cape Canaveral in Florida, he got into high positions, and in 93, when he knew he was fixing to die, he just told me about that, about the Roswell crash, and he says it wouldn't make any difference anymore because he was on his way out anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But there is a underground city, if you want to call it that, underneath White Sands, New Mexico, just west of Alamogordo, New Mexico. And this is where this craft is, as well as the alien bodies.
And you got this information from...
The crash had fell.
And you got this information from your dad?
Yes, he had what they had, a Q clearance. That's the highest clearance you can get in the entire country.
And he said that the craft is there, huh?
Yes. Hangar 18 and all that is nothing but a hoax, but it was brought out here to Fort Worth and then retaken back out to the White Sands Missile Base. And at that time, nobody knew that there was an underground city built there. If anybody knows anything about New Mexico and the White Sands area, they have it marked off where deadly force will be used, like Area 51.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, what can I say? Fascinating. Absolutely fascinating. I appreciate the call.
I can get away in talking about that knowing he's passed away now.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Well, what's your opinion of this report that came from Russia about this battle? What's your opinion of that? You think that's real?
I think it occurred.
You think so? Well, I guess in the days ahead, we'll find out, won't we?
Well, you got to remember something. If you were a being from another world coming to a planet, you would investigate that world to see what the culture was like, the people were, who were the strongest, look for their weaknesses, and exploit them.
Yeah.
You take out the strongest, the rest will fall.
So you think maybe this is sort of a recon mission that they were on?
Kind of like testing the defenses to see how far man has evolved. Not to say that there are probably some other races out there that are not helping the governments of this world for a common enemy.
Yeah. Okay, well, look, I've got some other calls holding, so I'm going to have to move along. But, man, thanks for the call. What outstanding information. I appreciate it much. We have the flash line open as well if you need to send me a flash message. And the telephone lines are open. I just looked at the monitor and saw that we did not put up the number again, so you didn't have it. But there it is, 623-444-5889, 623-444-5889. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and where are you calling from? Oh, I got to get all these buttons straightened back out now that we moved the studio twice. Caller, you're live on the show. Your first name and where are you calling from? Hello, caller. Okay. The toll-free number is 888-223-4599. Caller, you're alive on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and where are you calling from?
Good evening, Kevin. It's Doug from the Alien Agenda.
Hi, Doug.
A good guest, actually, a good caller you have there. You might want to get him on, actually, as perhaps someone to discuss in further detail what he might know.
I would love to. I would love to.
I think so. I just wanted to continue once again on last night's seminar, Kevin. And, you know, you mentioned quite a few things last night that really made me start digging into some of the research I had done into, and it all lined up. You are a very smart man.
Well, I appreciate that. All of the ads that we played leading up to the seminar, all the ads about the seminar, included the line, "Your boat is about to rock." So let me ask you a question. Were we overplaying that, or did it rock?
I'll tell you that. You know, you had mentioned earlier this evening with regards to the 1942 UFO, or 32, is it 32 or 42?
42.
42.
Yeah.
Okay. MacArthur had made that statement, but also did not Reagan tap into something similar at the UN?
At least three times Reagan made a statement that are not the aliens already, an alien force already among us.
That's right. That's right. So, like, they know. And I just wanted to touch another point. With regards to your last caller, mm-hmm. he had mentioned you were discussing about some metals and whatnot. You're familiar with Phil Schneider, William Cooper, of course.
Sure. Yeah.
And Phil Schneider had samples of material that is even denser than diamond, that could only be construed or put together under extreme conditions. And I have to wonder, what is it that, because Phil Schneider also indicated that our advances is about 45 years per one year of human life in technological advances in the military. Mm-hmm. And he said at that time of his last seminar that the military was well over 1,000 years in advance of technological activity or advances. And that he, backing up your last caller, that there are indeed cities or huge complexes beneath White Sands, New Mexico, and Duluth, and all that.
Yeah. I think there's something like... I saw this in a magazine, and I'm trying to remember which magazine, but I think it's 123 deep underground military bases.
I believe that he had mentioned 131.
Yeah, this article said 123. I was just trying to recall the article. It doesn't come as a surprise to me. I have no problem conceptualizing that we have these underground bases.
And, no, I don't either. And you know what? You had mentioned when you had spoken with Marshall Masters that your position on 2012 is that it is going to be just basically another 2000 event, essentially, that you don't believe anything's really going to happen. And Kevin from Ontario brought up
Well, my position on anything is subject to change as new information is available. My position at any moment in time is based on the best information I have at that time. If further information becomes available, then yeah. Because, you see, there's a difference between me and somebody that believes. Somebody that believes has, they've wrapped the arms of their soul around a theory, and I haven't. I'm willing to say that based on the evidence, the best evidence that I have available right now, here's how it looks to me. And who knows, you know, tomorrow there may be more evidence or better evidence, and my position would change.
And you know what? I believe that that makes you an the excellent person to host a radio show on this topic, being an international police officer, having the structured investigative techniques that would put you in the negative. It doesn't believe in this and doesn't even believe in that. And you made that so quite clear in your seminar last night, Kevin. I commend you on your wisdom.
Well, I thank you. I approach the seminar the same way as I approach every subject, and that is, let's investigate the evidence. What does the evidence say? And it's not a question of believe it. It's a question of what is the evidence.
That's right. How many times have people asked their religious leaders or the teachers of their certain church what meaning is and what that meaning is, and have always given a very beautiful little fairy tale to make it all seem nice and right? I tell you, my friend, I am on the same boat.
Well, I appreciate it. Thank you. I'm glad you enjoyed the seminar. I got to run along. I got another call lined up.
Very good.
Thanks for the call. I appreciate it. All right. And caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling? Oop, they hung up. Okay. 623-444-5889 or toll free if that one would cost you to call me. The toll-free number is 1-888-223-4599. This is some pretty amazing stuff that we're hearing here this evening. And we're going to hear some more and take some more of your calls right after this break. Welcome back to the show. Let's go to the phone line. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and where are you calling from?
Hey, Kevin. This is Chris from Grand Rapids, Michigan.
Hi, Chris.
Hey, how you doing tonight, sir?
Good.
Hey, I was hoping to have the information to you before I got a hold of you, but I have yet to get my call back yet. But my brother is stationed in Tyndall Air Force Base in Florida.
Uh-huh.
He's the crew chief for the F-22 Raptor group that is out there. And if anything happened to any of those planes, he would know about it. And that's like the largest group there on the East Coast. So if they sent any of them out, they came from that base.
Well, the F-22 Raptor that is said to have crashed was on the West Coast.
Oh, West Coast. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but he, I think, probably would have heard about it anyway.
Yeah, because they do all the training and repairs and all that kind of stuff there, so... If there's a buzz about it, he'll know for sure.
Yeah, I really would appreciate it if you come up with some information and let us know. At this point, I mean, this just happened last night. There's one thing that's a fact. The fact, and we know it to be a fact, is that witnesses all up and down the East Coast saw flashes of light, balls of light, and heard explosions. That's there. That's a fact. Okay. Now, this report out of Russia, I mean, you know, I read that report about people seeing all this on the East Coast, and it's not like I just say, oh, yeah, well, okay, forget it. It's not that. It's just that, what are you going to say about it? They saw them, you know. Yeah. What else are you going to say? Nobody knows what it was. But then when I got this report late this afternoon coming out of a source in Russia, this puts a whole different spin on that information and says it was actually military engagement. It was U.S. Air Force engaging five unidentified objects traveling at Mach 1 speeds. Okay, now, you know, with all my cautions in place, the cautions being, who knows if this report is real or bogus, but it's there. The report is out there. So, you know, we will take a look at it, but, you know, I'm hoping someone from the East Coast will call this evening and tell us what they saw. I have to tell you, though, that every single time I ask people, you know, if I didn't ask people from the East Coast to call, the phones would be flooded with it. And, you know, there would be people calling in from South Carolina and from Maryland and, you know. But when I say, now look, somebody out there saw something, you heard something, call us and tell us. They don't call. I did that with Florida, and people in Florida couldn't even find their phones when I did that. And it happens that way. I don't know why. It's just one of the anomalies that takes place, I guess, on every talk show. I don't know. It does on this one. But in the next few days, information will be coming to the surface somewhere. Somebody took pictures. Somebody's got video. Somebody knows something. But look, check with, you said it's your brother or brother-in-law?
My brother, yeah. All right, and like I said, I'll drop you an email as soon as I get a hold of him. And if anything of any of the Raptors happened or engaged in anything, he knows about it. So
okay.
I just got to figure out a discreet way to get the information.
Well, look, I appreciate that, and I look forward to it.
All righty, sir. Thank you again for all your service. We definitely appreciate it.
You betcha. Thanks for the call. All right, 623-444-5889 or the toll-free number. The toll-free number is 888-223-4599. And feel free to use the toll-free number if it will cost you long-distance charges to call the 623-444-5889. But, you know, if it doesn't cost you anything extra to call that number, please call that number. And that kind of helps us control costs a little bit. Okay, well, as you can see, moving the studio gets everything out of whack here. And you just heard one of the phones acting up. Caller, you are live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hey, this is Leah from Tennessee.
Hi, how are you doing?
All right. I caught your... Gods in the Gardens last night?
Yeah.
It was fascinating for the first hour, and then you took a break, and then I could only hear every other word.
Is that right?
That was it.
You know, I got some good news for you. Yeah, I got good news for you. The DVDs, were shot with a professional camera and are being professionally produced and will be much better than even the live video was.
Oh, cool. Well, even the call-in, I couldn't even call in because I never did hear the last four numbers.
Oh. Well, it was the same as we're using tonight. 623-444-5889.
Yeah, this kind of does the same thing. Just sometimes it skips.
I don't know. It must be your connection.
Probably. I got satellite, and it's cloudy.
Yeah, yeah. Well, what do you think about this story about these unidentified objects?
You know, the thing that worries me the most is not, the fear of aliens is long past. Like, I mean, if they wanted to do something, they'd have been done a long time ago. And look at all that stuff Ed Grimsley has caught. So it's been going on a long time.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm more afraid of the powers that be, that they would be using it for a false flag.
You know, I have a flash message here from Australia, and this is from Bob in Australia. It says, hi, Kevin. I'm not sure if this is tied in with what happened in Russia, but around 10:30 p.m. last night, there were bright flashes in the far southwest skies. They went on for over half an hour. I would estimate they were around 300 miles above the Earth. Hope this helps. That's from Australia. And then listen to this, and we'll get back to what you just said. A similar fleet of these mysterious aircraft were also reported to have flown over the Australian capital city of Sydney, which resulted in a massive power outage lasting for nearly 3 hours. That's that report from Russia. And to Bob in Australia, it was not flashes of light in Russia. It was flashes of light and explosion sounds on the east side of the United States. But the report, none of that was in our news here. The report of that came out of Russia. And I'm saying, I don't know whether that's real. You know, they're saying it was a battle in the skies. I don't know. And you're saying you're more concerned that it may be a false flag, right?
Yeah. Well, yeah, I think we've had technology like that for a long time. They could actually set it up to make it look that way.
Okay. I have a flash message here. Andrew from Australia. And guess what it says? I think maybe this is a false flag. Iron Mountain Report, Agenda 21, Project Blue Beam, Black Ops, and the fact governments, Vatican, military, and those associated with the military-industrial complex have mentioned an invasion from extraterrestrials. One must be careful to assume the first plausible explanation. I'm thinking it's rather convenient that the world economy has collapsed. There's talk of a one-world currency overseen by the ones associated with the privately run U.S. Federal Reserve and the International Monetary Fund. Something doesn't sit right. Wouldn't an alien invasion see a rapid movement to a one-world government? How about that?
I totally agree. That's exactly what I was thinking.
So you've got someone in Australia that's thinking on the same track as you are.
Well, that's good to know. Because the world needs to wake up anyway. They couldn't, you know, eat all the stuff they do to us as it is. If we don't wake up and stop it, it ain't going to stop.
I don't know if we can stop it. I don't know. We may wake up just in time to see it happen. Yeah. All right. Well, listen, thanks for the call.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Bye-bye. 623-444-5889 is the telephone number. Or if you need to call me toll-free, please feel free to do so. And the number is 888-223-4599. Caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. This is Larry from Illinois.
Hi, Larry.
And I really enjoyed the show last night.
Oh, the seminar?
Yes.
All right, let me ask you a question. I've asked this to one other caller about that, so let me ask you. In the ads, it said, your boat is about to rock. Did it rock?
Yes.
Okay.
I had my sister here. We both watched it, and it was just wonderful. And we learned things that just you never learned in my life.
It's pretty amazing when you just take a dictionary out, And you realize, you know, that the translators that translated all of that into English for us had an agenda. And the agenda was to suppress that information. They didn't want you to know it. But
they don't want us to know the truth.
Yeah, you get that dictionary out and read it for yourself, and you find out, by golly, this says something entirely different than what they made it look like it says, what they say it says. And, yeah, it rocked my boat when I first came across that. I've been dealing with that information for years. And but when I first saw that, when I first decided, okay, I'm going to check this word by word here, it blew me away. What do you think about these UFOs? I mean, do you think that's real, or do you think that this story out of Russia is maybe nonsense?
A couple of things. One, I'm actually looking at the MSNBC website, and they have reported the mystery flash traced to Russian space junk.
I mentioned that, you know, right at the beginning. And it may be that, you know, it may be that.
It might be.
Now, let's say that it is Russian space junk and that it was reentering. It would make sense for a report to come out of Russia saying, phew, that's not our stuff. You guys were battling UFOs. You know, that's not us. We didn't do that.
They reported as a flash going across the sky and then blowing up like and making a white ball flash.
Yeah, and it may be that. That may be exactly what it is. Now, the next observation I would have and the question I have is, didn't they know this was coming in?
Well, that's what it says, that they did know. And somebody said that they expected it at that time, and that's how they know it was from the last Soyuz launching.
All right, now, can you hang on through the break?
Sure can.
You hang on through the break. I've got a follow-up question. See what you got, what information you've got on that. We'll be back right after this, folks. We are back. We have Larry on the line, and Larry, the follow-up question. They said they knew it was coming, right?
Yes.
All right. Now, every year, you know, they tell us, oh, you want to get out and watch the Perseid meteor shower. That's coming. The Leonid meteor shower. That's coming. You want to get out and take a look at it. If you like to watch meteors, shooting stars, you want to go look at it. When Skylab fell from space, they warned everyone across Australia that it was a possibility that pieces of it could fall on Australia. Now, they knew this was coming. Do you know of any reports where they warned us it was coming?
The article doesn't say anything as far as reporting that it was coming. It was like after the fact where somebody, Chester from the Naval Observatory in Washington, checked what would be coming back at that time, and that's when he discovered this.
Uh-huh. I find it curious that they are tracking space junk as small as 4 inches, and they have over 17,000 pieces of space junk they're tracking down to 4 inches, and nobody seemed to catch it that this Russian satellite was about to crash into that Iridium satellite. They didn't expect it. They didn't think it was going to happen. They didn't see it coming, but they're tracking stuff down to 4 inches. I don't buy that. There's something wrong with that story.
Well, I don't buy this story either.
Now, this, I think when they say that this stuff is junk falling from space, I don't have a problem with that. But if you're tracking stuff down to 4 inches and you know it's coming in and you know it's going to fly over the United States, any part of it, why wouldn't you warn people?
Or warn our own military.
Yeah, well, but why wouldn't you warn citizens and tell them, don't freak out, there's some space junk that's coming in.
I don't know.
You know, I don't know. I don't get it. I think the problem is that's the way normal people think, and we're talking about the government here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Hey, thanks for the call.
Well, can I say one more thing?
Sure.
That person that's Sawyer, what's her name?
Sorcha Fall. I've never read anything by Sorcha Fall. F-A-A-L. Yeah?
And I'm not a fan. I see that as just somebody writing, trying to write something fantastic or something. I followed a lot of the person's writing,
mm-hmm.
and I don't find a lot of credulence to what they say. But that's my opinion.
Well, listen, I appreciate you telling us that, because I've never read anything by this person, by this, I'll say, reporter. It's a report. I've never read anything, but Sorcha, I guess it's a female. I'm not really
sure.
Yes,
I think so.
But this article, you know.
I don't have any credence at all to it.
Yeah. You know, she or he is quoting from some U.S. news and then also quotes from some a report in Russia. Well, the U.S. news that is quoted is quoted accurately. And so I just have questions about, I mean, it's a pretty fantastic story, but the U.S. news quote was quoted accurately. So, you know, that puts a question on the whole thing is, well, I wonder if it's real. But we'll know for sure within the next few days. Hey, thanks for the call. All right. 623-444-5889 or 888-223-4599. All right. I can't say that I think this is a credible report, and I have not said that from the very beginning. I can't say that. I know nothing about this writer, and, you know, but it does quote from the U.S. news and talks about, you know, people seeing this flash of light and so forth. Some of you over on the East Coast need to find your telephones and give us a call and tell us what you saw and what you heard. I certainly put a lot more credibility in eyewitness accounts than I do in something that a reporter has written. And, you know, when we hear it from the person themselves. Now, I have from England, from Nigel, or from the United Kingdom, it says, hi, Kevin, the mass media, have they covered this up? I could not find the story. The story, the only one I can find in the mass media, has to do with the stuff streaking through the sky, the flashes of light and the sounds of explosions. This thing from Sorcha Fall, this report that tells us that in Russia they're saying there was a battle. And so, look, I don't even know if they're saying that in Russia, okay? I mean, I hope you understand that. But that's what this report says. Now, this report was emailed to me, and so it's not in the mass media, all right? All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name, and bye-bye. You're not there. Okay, we'll try it again. Telephone number is 623-444-5889. And that caller is not there. All right. Toll free is 888-223-4599. Or if you don't need the toll-free number, if you can call without it costing you anything, call us on 623-444-5889. We are, of course, on final approach here, and that means we just are just about out of time. It seems to me that, you know, if you're tracking space junk down to 4 inches, you ought to know this is coming. And if you know it's coming, you ought to be able to tell people this is going to happen. Don't freak out. All right, caller, you're live on the Kevin Smith Show. Your first name and from where are you calling?
Hi, Kevin. This is David from North Carolina.
Hey, Dave. Did you see the flashes of light?
I didn't see them. No, I'm sorry. But I did notice a lot of plane activity that night. I could see them through my bedroom window. I don't normally see that many. You know, I just want to mention something else to you, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I called a few weeks ago about the moon seeming excessively low here.
Okay.
And an hour ago, it was still by the tree lines, and it's I can't even see it now. I mean, the trees have completely covered it. And so I'm sure it's some reasonable explanation for it, but it's odd.
Well, the only explanation that I can think of is if the Earth axis is tilting a lot more.
Yes.
There may be some other explanation. That's the only one I can think of.
So just, you know, through the years, I've never noticed it being this low this early.
Mm-hmm.
So if something's happening.
What do you think is happening?
I'm not sure, but I mean, like you say, in the Earth tilting, that would do it.
Yeah. All right, listen, the end of the show music just took over. Thanks for the call.
Thanks, Kevin.
All right. All right, folks, we'll know, I guess, in the next few days what's the score with all this. My friends call me Steel Eye, my enemies do too, and you can call me whatever you want. Just keep coming back again and again and again. Until next time, so long, everybody.